the fact that there's a God, but yet God rules and reigns and nobody can bring him down. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are continuing and wrapping up the series, I'm Not a Quitter. Have you quit this week or not? No, sir. I am no quitter. But what is a quitter? Let's have a look at it. A person who gives up easily. Crossway, folks, serving God, don't give up easily. A person who gives up easily or does not have the courage or determination to finish a task. Do you fit into that category? If not, praise God. If you do, we'll get you out of there. We are no quitters. And in Philippians 4:13, that's something we did last week. And I'm going to ask you all to read it with me because it's something that empowers you. It's something that motivates you. It's a scripture in Philippians 4:13. Let's read it together. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who does what? Infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's it. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So there's nothing I can do apart from Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can attempt to do without the strength of God. And I can live a very successful life in Jesus Christ. Quite in the phones. No person apart from Jesus himself shaped the history of Christianity like Paul did. Wrote 13 books in the New Testament. So he's unequaled. Nobody shaped the course of history as Paul did. And for the record, because you'll see that in the book of Acts in particular, Jesus did not change Saul's name to Paul. He is known as Saul. Name also known as Paul. So his name was not changed, not by Jesus at all. Jesus addresses him as Saul, when Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? And Ananias, who went to lay his hands on Jesus, addressed him also as Saul. And then also the Holy Spirit calls him Saul before his first missionary trip. And after the experience, Saul's experience with Jesus Christ, he's called Saul 11 more times in the book of Acts. So Saul and Paul are very synonymous. And we'll look at what his life was like in a minute. The subtle shift occurs in Acts 13:13. And this is what it says. Paul and his men took a ship from Paphos and arrived at Perga in the city of Pamphylia. John Mark deserted him. He didn't want to continue on the journey. So he says, no, I'm not going on that journey. And then went back to Jerusalem. Notice the shift in Paul. So we recognize that name was introduced by Dr. Luke. Now, Dr. Luke is the one that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And him and Paul journeyed together quite extensively. So Luke would also refer to him as Paul. So Saul and Paul were two names of the same person all along, or for the same purpose. Look at Acts 39. Acts 39, but Saul, notice, also known as? So did his name change? No, same name. Same name. A different name, but same person, should I say. Saul, Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He stared at Elymas. So we recognize that that's the clincher, and Saul and Paul are dual names of one man, both before and after his conversion. So like last Sunday, I'm going to try and do the same thing this Sunday as we wrap this up. Last Sunday, I took on the person as Moses. Today, I will try and present Paul to you. Let him be the first person speaking to us and sharing his experience with us as to why he is not a quitter. We saw or heard from Moses last week why he was not a quitter. He was a basket case, but he never quitted. And so Saul is going to share with us this morning his life and what a life he had. So this morning, I will introduce to you the guy Paul. And I'm getting tired of going outside of our country, because last week we went to Egypt and we had to get Moses from the dead to come and talk to us. So this morning we are not going to Egypt, we are going to Turkey, and we're asking Paul to come and address us and speak to us this morning. So I think it would be wise to introduce this guy that reshaped history and say, Paul, we welcome you at Crossway Christian Church this morning. Will you give Paul a great hand, please? Thank you, people. Well, I am Paul, or as many people know me as Saul. I am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia in modern-day Turkey, for those of you that may not know. But I'm also a Roman citizen. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm actually from the tribe of Benjamin. So my roots are deep down in the Jewish faith. My parents wanted me to be well-grounded in the best traditions of Jewish orthodoxy. So I was actually raised in Jerusalem and studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Now Gamaliel, oh my gosh, this guy was phenomenal. I suppose if I have to share with you, I may have been equivalent to somebody with a PhD today. But I rose up and under the teachings of him, and he was the best renowned rabbi of that time. And I was taught according to the strictness of our father's law, the Old Testament, and was zealous towards God. I was sold out for God. I wanted to do the things that my forefathers wanted me to do in the law. I was zealous toward God and endeavored to maintain the purity of Judaism. Now, within Judaism, we believe in one God. So I have no problem with that, sharing with you that I believed in the one God. There is no other God but me, he says in the scriptures. So I was very zealous to maintain the purity of Judaism. But my enthusiasm for ancestral traditions and my zeal for the Jewish law was unequaled. I had fervor, I had zeal, I would maintain the purity of Judaism. Now, of course, many of you may not be able to relate much to that because you aren't Jews. But I'll share a little bit with you. At this point in my life, there was a sect that arose. This sect was something different I've not seen before. This sect was proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, that was in my time. So I know all about this, a first-hand experience. Jesus was crucified. I heard about him. I knew about him. But they say he rode on the third day. And, of course, there were followers of Jesus. And these followers of Jesus equaled my enthusiasm. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share a little bit with you about one individual that had so much enthusiasm that seemed to equal my enthusiasm to maintain the purity of Judaism. I saw this following of Jesus Christ as a threat to Judaism, a threat to what I was raised, a threat to what I believed. I didn't see it at that time, but yet in hindsight and in retrospect, if I look back, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. I studied that, but it never became a reality to me. So I saw this following of Jesus Christ, a threat to Judaism and the survival of Israel. The survival of Israel demanded that the followers of Jesus Christ be wiped out. These people were not afraid to share their belief. And that's something that I've noticed. These folks that are followers of Christ had so much zeal. They were so enthusiastic. They were prepared to lay their lives down for what they believed. Well, so did I, though. I know what I believed, and I was going to fight to the bitter end for the purity of it. But let me introduce to you something that Dr. Luke wrote. Now, remember, Dr. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Now he's writing the book of Acts, and in Acts, we find something interesting in 542. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Do you see where I'm going? The enthusiasm of this group that believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The zeal these guys had. They continued to preach all over the show. The message, what? Jesus is the Messiah. Now, as I told you, I may have read that in the Old Testament, but yet here's the reality. But this wasn't the Messiah we expected. We expected another Messiah. But yet they say he is the Messiah. And in Acts 6 verse 7, notice what it says. And so the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples, the followers of this sect that I believe is a sect, the followers of this sect continued to spread, and so did the message. The number of disciples in Jerusalem, notice, grew larger and larger, and I was ticked off. This is a problem we've got in Jerusalem. This is a situation that needs to be addressed. And I am thinking I'm equal to that. I can handle this thing. The number of disciples in Jerusalem grew larger and larger. And great number of priests. I knew some of them. They accepted the faith. What faith are you talking about? We are violating that of Judaism. How can these priests do it? But there must be something, because the group is growing and growing and growing. But I was not going to allow this newfound teaching to infiltrate the people of Israel. I hated this new sect. I hated this cult. It was a threat to Jerusalem. It was a threat to the existence of Israel. It was undermining all our roots. I cannot accept this. And you know what? I'm going to persecute them. And boy, oh boy, did I persecute them. I found them all over the show. I got them locked up. I got them beaten. Man, they got whipped. But you know what's amazing? They were known as followers of the way. That was how they were identified. Of course, later on, they were identified in Antioch as Christians, but now they are followers of the way. What way? The way of Jesus, the way of the Messiah. But you know what really struck me? There was a guy, seemed different. He did not hold anything back. This guy showed something that I'd not seen. Let me share with you. This guy was named Stephen. He had such zeal, as I said, equal to mine. As I was pushing Judaism, so he was pushing the message of the resurrected Christ, promoting that. He had first-hand experience, obviously, of something that I had not yet had. So what was he doing? Proclaiming this newfound message. He was getting pushback, although, you know, and I can share that with you, for you that are followers of Christ, you will proclaim your message, but guess what? There will always be pushback. So don't be intimidated by people that don't believe what you believe. So here we find he got pushback. He got pushback from a group of people known as the free or freed people. Now, these freed people were slaves, was eventually out of slavery, and man, he was pushing their knobs. Let me tell you in Acts chapter 6, as Dr. Luke wrote. And so the word of God continued to spread. But now, notice, as we go through the history of these folks, I find something amazing. I think it's in Acts 6, verse 8, 9, and 10. I don't know if we got it over there. But God gave Stephen the power to work great miracles. This was something strange for me. Wonders among the people. But some Jews, these were the free or freed men from Cyrene and Alexandria, were members of a what? A group called themselves free men. Better spoken, freed men. They started arguing with Stephen. And I'm observing all this from Cilicia and Asia, also argued with him. But they were what? What do you see what Dr. Luke wrote? They were no match to Stephen. But these were intellectual individuals. Of course, I knew Judaism. I was well educated. And I could see these guys had a point. But Stephen, on the other hand, seemed to have a position of cut above these guys. They were no match for Stephen. And I'm observing all this. Who spoke with great wisdom that the Spirit gave him. What do you think would the result be? That these people were embarrassed. Because they were no match for Stephen. And you know what happens when a man's ego is broken? He doesn't take it well. Oh, the lady folks take it better than the men. Men can't handle this stuff. So these guys were embarrassed. So they bribed some men to say, we heard him speaking against Moses. Like almost what's happening in your politics today. Well, that did it. Stephen was arrested and was brought before the high priest and asked if what was said is correct. He gave a compelling and straightforward message about our ancestors. He's telling us about our ancestors, about us. Though true, it made everyone angry. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54, as the members of the council listened to Stephen, they became what? More furious. Isn't it amazing that truth can make you mad?
Amen.
And the truth was making these people mad. It was making me mad. And I know what I'm talking about, but I was mad. As the members of the council listened to Stephen, they became furious and ground their teeth. Thank God then they didn't have to go to the dentist. They could just get dentures, who knows. But in any case, they ground their teeth at him in anger. Wow. For speaking the truth. And so he was dragged outside of the city. And people began throwing stones at him. And guess what, folks? I was there. He was stoned to death. The very person that was speaking the truth. But let me take your mind back, although I didn't believe it at that time. Jesus spoke the truth too. And he was crucified. So somehow, truth meets opposition. Somehow, truth always attracts opposition. Somehow, truth makes darkness mad. In all the cases. Well, he was dragged out and stoned to death. And now, I'm sad to say I was there. But at that time, I wasn't sad at all. My thought was, you deserve it. Another one bites the dust. We'll wipe them out. One by one. Acts 7:58. And dragged him out of the city. Then they started throwing stones at him. The men who had brought charges against him put their coats at the feet of who? A young man. Guess who that young man was? Me. I was that young man. They put their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. I not only wanted to stamp out this sect in Jerusalem. I wasn't just happy what was happening here. I wanted to go throughout Judea. I wanted to go further and go find the sect. that was influencing Jews and Gentiles. I don't mind what they want to do to the Gentiles, but don't touch the Jews. But guess what? Many of the Jews got converted by their message. So I went to the high priest and I got permission from the high priest to travel to Damascus. Well, Damascus is today the capital of Syria. It's about 150 miles. Traveling by foot, it will take me 2 weeks. If only I had a Tesla, then it would have taken me 1 hour. But I had to walk. And that will take me 2 weeks. And I was determined to bring these Christians to Jerusalem and put them in prison. Did I justify my actions? Absolutely. Did I have the zeal for this? I told you before, unequaled. But I was going to get these Christians into prison. Acts 9 verse 2. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers. Remember what they are called? Followers of the way. But in Antioch, they were called Christians. Asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there in Damascus. He wanted to bring them, both men and women. Notice, I was going to bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. For what? Well, preaching the gospel. Preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Preaching that Jesus rose from the dead. I can't stand for this. So I'm on my way to Damascus. But something happened, man. I had an experience that changed my life forever. I'm no pipsqueak. I know how to handle people. And I was determined, with determination unequaled, to get these people wiped out. They need to pay because they are infiltrating Judaism. Well, I was almost at Damascus when something happened. Suddenly, there was this dazzling light from above. I mean, it was brilliant. It was bright. It was the most powerful light I've ever seen. I fell to the ground and heard this voice speaking to me in Acts 9, verse 4. Fell to the ground and heard a voice speaking to me. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Hey, dude, what are you talking about, man? Why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I've never heard this voice before. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a light as bright as this before. I was blinded. I responded, of course, when he asked me, Saul, Saul, why? Why are you persecuting me? My first response, what would your response be? Who are you? You see, I was not intimidated by this voice. But oh, lo and behold, what a fool I'm going to make of myself. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus. Oh, holy camoly. My mind is rushing. My thoughts are rushing. Is this the Jesus that I saw crucified? Is this the Jesus they say that was in the grave for 3 days and rose from the dead? Is this the same guy? If it is, I'm in trouble. And the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Wow. Wait. I can't believe it. This is the Jesus Stephen was speaking about? There must be some truth in what Stephen experienced then. Is this the Jesus? Yeah. It's the same Jesus. Well, guess what, guys? The guys around me were speechless. I was told to get up, and I got up, but guess what? I'm blind. I can't see a darn thing. They say as blind as a bat. I don't even know if bats are blind, but let's say they're blind. I can't see a thing. I was led to Damascus because I was just a short way from Damascus to find these Christians and stayed there for 3 days. I didn't eat, I didn't drink for 3 days. I prayed and then I had a vision. Well, for you and may not understand what this vision is, it came in my mind. I saw these things. It just didn't make sense to me, but I saw these things unfolding in my mind. I saw a guy by the name of Ananias. Well, I don't know him from a bar of soap. Oh, it's not the Ananias you're thinking of, the one called Ananias and Sapphira that did not give a true account of the money, of the property they sold. No, not that Ananias. Oh, no, not the Ananias that you're also thinking of in Acts 20-something. That's the high priest. No, this is just another Ananias. He's just a follower of Christ. And I saw this guy, and he's coming to where I'm staying and putting his hands on me, and I recovered from blindness. Man, I was overwhelmed by this experience. Ananias? I don't know this guy. How is he going to find me? But only to find out later at the same time, this Jesus was speaking to Ananias and said, you've got to go down to the street called Straight, because there were a lot of crooked streets. No, I'm not joking. You got to go down to the street called Straight. And there you will find Saul. Oh, no, I believe Ananias said to the Lord, no, not that guy. I don't want to get near that guy. But Jesus told me, no, I've chosen him. You got to go. So Ananias came and laid his hands on me, and my eyes were opened, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know that Pastor Dennis said, you can have a baptism class. Well, that's exactly what I had. I got baptized. I'm an adult. But no, it's not a baptism for adults. It's a baptism for believers. So I believed. I got baptized, ate food, got my strength back, and started preaching. Guess what I was preaching? The very message I was opposed to. What a turnaround. Oh, you may call me a fake, but I'm not a fake. I was preaching the same message as what Stephen was preaching. You see, now I had an experience that Stephen had, but I never had that experience before. In Acts 9 verse 20, Dr. Luke writes, at once he began to preach where? To the very synagogues that were going to find the Jews and bring them back to Jerusalem. At once I began to preach in the synagogues. And what was I preaching? You will never believe it. That Jesus is the Son of God. Now let me tell you, if I can get that experience, so can you. If you've never experienced Jesus, I want to share with you this morning, experience Jesus. He changes your life. He changed my life. Oh, he changed my life. Oh, I wish I could say that my Christian walk was a piece of cake from here onwards. But no. I would not be telling the truth. Like last week I said, it's plain sailing. Oh no, Todd said no, we got to call it smooth sailing. But let's call it a piece of cake. It was not a piece of cake. Oh, there were many, many challenges and difficulties in my life as a follower of Christ. And I'm going to take this opportunity for a few minutes and share with you Acts 9:23. After many days where I was, had gone by, the Jews met together and did what? Made plans to kill me. Who was going to kill me? My brothers. You see, this is amazing to me. Because I want to just pause and gather my thoughts. Just for a moment. Thought about this. My own people wanted to kill me. Why? Because I'm of no value to them anymore. My line of thinking has changed. My life has changed. I could not believe this. Just because my thinking does no longer align with theirs, I'm the enemy? Does that make sense to you? Well, then again, you are experiencing that firsthand in America right now. There's a man that belonged to a political party. He was their hero. Oh, they admired him. They'd like to put him on a pedestal. They love to promote him. But now he's of another political party. He's changed his mind. And now they want to kill him. I know what that's all about because I've been there. One guy was a great hero. And now he's a villain. I was a hero amongst my people. Now they want to kill me. They want to destroy me. But then again, like old Solomon says, and we always go back to the Old Testament in particular, Solomon, the wisest man known upon the face of the earth, said, there's nothing new under the sun. So if it's happened with me, it's going to happen with somebody else, just in a different phase. And this is what I've realized. When you are of no more value to the group that you belong to, they'll spit you out. Because you're not advancing their agenda any longer. And I was not advancing the agenda of Judaism anymore. No. My eyes were opened. And that's what's got to happen to many people. They are blinded by the powers of darkness. And their eyes have got to be opened so they can see that Jesus is the Messiah. Regardless of what have been taught in your books. Regardless of what's been taught at kindergartens about the creation, regardless of what's been taught at the primary schools and the high schools about the evolution process, you got to believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, and you got to believe that God had created all things. Nothing just evolved. Acts 14, verse 19. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch, where they call Christians, in Iconium, and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul. That's me, of course. Oh, it was brutal. To feel the stones on my body. Oh, man, I was bruised for ages. They stoned me and dragged me out of town, thinking I was dead. So there's, I never had this within Judaism. I had a comfortable life. I was climbing the Judaism ladder, if you want to. But now, oh, different story. Man, because I was preaching this message that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the message, that Jesus can change your life. Oh, my gosh, my troubles began. And so will your troubles once you find out that Jesus is Lord and you give your life to him. They stoned me, dragged me out of town, thinking I was dead. Well, I was virtually dead. I was kaput. Stones were so much for me. I just couldn't breathe anymore. But oh my gosh, I wish I could say that things got better. Nope, they didn't get better. It was getting worse and worse and worse. And as we go through the scriptures, you will find some of my experiences in 2 Corinthians 11. And here's a lengthy portion that Luke, my companion, has jotted down in the book of Acts. Because he was on many occasions with me. And I'm referring to individuals now. Are they Christ's servants? I don't want to brag. I sound like a madman, and it seems like this, but I'm not. I'm just sharing my experience with you. And I'm saying, no, I'm better servant than those guys are. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I put a lot of time now, my life actually, into serving Christ. I've worked much harder than those guys. But then again, these guys that are making out to be such great servants, well, let me tell you something. I've been in prison more times than they've ever dreamt of. As a matter of fact, I have what? I've been whipped much more than those other guys. I have been near death more than often. I just referred to one where they left me as dead. But look at this, folks. You try and imagine. All because I'm no longer part of Judaism, just because I'm part of this so-called sect that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the price I've got to pay. 5 times I was given 39 lashes. Have you experienced that? Oh no, you only received a spanking when you were a kid. If you were of early age, today that's not allowed anymore. 5 times. 5 times. I was given 39 lashes by the Jews. My own people. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans, and I was a Roman as well. And once I was stoned. I have been in 3 shipwrecks. Oh my gosh. And those were the line cruisers you got today, the beautiful ships you have today. Once I spent 24 hours in the water. Thank God there was no whale. You know, Jonah had an experience, and he landed up in a whale of a mess. In many, many of my travels, I've been in danger from floods, from robbers, in danger from my own people, from the Gentiles, you. There's been dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilds, dangers on the high seas, dangers from false friends. But then again, you know nothing about that. You've only got good friends. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. There has been work and toil. Often I've gone without sleep, not because I chose to. I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I have often been without enough food, shelter, or clothing. Oh, when I look around, I wish I had the opportunity to come and go to the school building you've got behind you over here. I could have got some good clothing over there for nothing. And not to mention other things. But notice, I share my heart with you. Every day I'm under the pressure of my concern. For what? All churches that I'm part of now. I'm concerned for the churches. Because many people want to come and destroy the churches. Many people want to come in and cause division within the churches. I'm concerned. And those churches have always been on my mind. Every single day. Praying that they will stand firm. But after sharing my experience with you. Or Luke sharing with you. I want you to notice. All that I've experienced. That has just been portrayed on screen before of you. I want to make one statement this morning. Through all that, I want you to know, I'm no quitter. Because I found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not a quitter. Things can't separate me from the love of God. As I stated in the book of Romans, things can never separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm no quitter. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is my passion. It's my privilege. I'll tell you why. Because he's my everything. I've got no other agenda. Christ is my agenda. And I trust that you will get there too. That you are not preoccupied with things. Not preoccupied with a political party. But that Christ is your everything. Because he became my everything. Remember where I came from. Intellectual. The best education a person could ever have. But the basic thing I didn't understand is that the natural and supernatural don't kind of make sense. The natural I could understand, but the supernatural from a person being raised from the dead, I didn't understand that. And now I've got to live by faith. And what I've discovered, living by faith is just as real as living in flesh. But he's my all in all. In Philippians 1:21, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, Christ means everything to me in this life. Can you make that statement? Christ is everything to you in this life? Or do you have your own agenda or just serve him part-time? But this is what he says. This is what I say. Christ is my everything. He means everything to me. And when I die, I'll have even more. Well, some of you may say, that just proves it. You're a nutcase. Amen. No. No. I've had visions. And I tell you what, Christ has made such a difference in my life that it's unquestionable. I cannot even question the reality of Christ anymore because he's my everything. And he's got so much in store for me still. This world offers me nothing. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, this world is only temporary. But eternal life is eternal. But I want to give you a warning this morning. I've experienced some very difficult things in my life. And I want you to know that you're going to experience some difficult things in your life as a Christian. Oh, the non-Christians also experience difficult things. But don't think that just because you're a Christian, you're exempt from all these troubles and problems. No, 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 no. You will experience them, but there's someone that will never let go of you. Oh, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. I wonder if you're ready for this. But let me give it to you in any case through my adopted son, my spiritual son, Timothy. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is what? Is in for a lot of trouble. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for trouble? There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it. So if you proclaim to be a follower of Christ, if you proclaim to be people of the way, if you proclaim to be Christians, you better buckle up. Well, let me tell you, Stephen was stoned to death because of that. Peter was crucified upside down because of that, they say. And I showed you what I experienced. Are you still up to the task of following Jesus Christ? If not, quit now. But if you're not a quitter, stay true to the end and you will receive the crown of life. And so what? I've got to be prepared. And then I recall this writing in the Gospel of John. And now I know all about it. Because Jesus inspired John to write this. And this is what he said. This is the Messiah. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. Why have I got such peace? Because I'm trusting Jesus. Why will I be unshakable? Because I'm trusting Jesus. What am I assured of? That he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So here's a scripture for you that you can really take to heart. Deeply at peace. And then, of course, Jesus continues and he says, in this godless world, in 2025, you will continue to what? Experience difficulties. So you see, you're not immune to it. But take heart. And this is, there's no better scripture than this to help you. There's no better scripture to give you peace than to know this. But take heart. I, Jesus Christ, have conquered the world. So if he has conquered the world and I'm following him, I also live in victory. Amen. Oh, I can tell you, it's a good thing to be a child of God. Amen. And I've learned that no matter how difficult and challenging life is, God can be trusted. He's faithful. He's loving. Never quit when you walk with God. I'll tell you why. He's your rock. He's your provider. He's the one who sustains you. Can you remember the series that Pastor Dennis shared with you? Can you remember what Brian just mentioned to you at the beginning of the service this morning? Thrive in 2025. What does that mean then to thrive? What does the T stand for? Trust God. What does H stand for? Hope in God. What does the I stand for? Imitate God. What does the V stand for? Victory in Jesus Christ. Oh, what does the E stand for? Enthusiasm. As I've had that enthusiasm all along, and as you have heard about Thriving 25, have that enthusiasm, because enthusiasm is contagious. And you are enthusiastic about the right cause, Jesus Christ. Oh, I was enthusiastic about Judaism until I found Jesus Christ. And now my enthusiasm changed. Because, you see, that was just a philosophy. That was just theory. That was teachings. But you know what? I found a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he changed my life forever and ever. So from my perspective then, as a Jew and a Roman, I can encourage you this morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Trust Him at all times. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. So it's been my privilege to be at Crossway this morning. All the way from Turkey and then, of course, Jerusalem. And now it's time to go back where I belong. In the presence of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, I hand over to Pastor Dennis again. Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate it. Sharing your... Weren't you blessed by Paul this morning? And guess what, Paul? I'll see you one day. Keep the seat warm for me. Make sure there's Coke on the table. I'm going to ask you as we close this morning, let's stand. And I want us to make this proclamation. I want us to read it together, please. All of us, we can just put our voices out there. Let's start with, in Christ, I am able to do what? Bear all things. Endure all things. Do all things. Challenges do not intimidate me. I am no quitter. Can we pray together? Let's pray.